Hello, Grace Church. This is Nathan Ross coming to you all the way from Morgantown, Kentucky. Thank you for tuning into this podcast. Today, I'd like to start a series of podcasts that center around what's known as the Heidelberg Catechism. Some of you might be thinking, when I said that, what in the world is that? Or you could be thinking, oh yeah, I learned that when I was a kid, or you could be thinking, isn't the Catholics, aren't they the ones that read confessions and catechisms? For many others, catechisms might sound out of date or boring. There are a large number of Christians who think negative when they hear the word confession or catechism. You might hear them say, well, my only creed is Christ. I have no other creed but the Bible. They would ask, why do we need some man-made document to tell us what to think? Don't we have the scriptures? Then others might say, confessions divide, We're all about unity and love, and in theology just gets in the way of all that. Just give me Jesus and a cup of coffee. Those that don't want to be dogmatic about truth claims and confessions and catechisms are normally dogmatic about not having truth claims, confessions, and catechisms. Every church, throughout time has had a confession, though it might not be written down, and it probably is in constant change of according to whatever the pastor or influential speaker at the time is wanting to, steer the congregation. But every church has some core beliefs that they hold to. Or it could be when you heard me say Heidelberg Catechism, you thought, I've been wanting to know more about that, and I've heard of that before, and I just want to, I didn't really have any immediate interest or time to really jump into it to see what it's all about. Not sure which one of those options you may be, which perspective you have that you're coming at this with, but I hope today to explain to you a little of an introduction, you could say, of the history of the Heidelberg Catechism, and then next time we'll dig into the first two questions. So, what exactly is a catechism? A catechism is simply a way of instructions by asking a series of questions about God, about man, and then seeking to answer those questions from Scripture in a systematic way. And in that sense, a catechism is never out of date. The reason is because it seeks to teach and answer those questions from Scripture. And God's Word is eternal. So why a catechism? Well, first off, when coming to a catechism, be it the Westminster or Belgic or Heidelberg or London Baptist Confession of Faith, we're not meant to take any of those and say, okay, I'm going to take this man-made doctrine and I'm going to add it to the Bible. So I'm going to have the Bible and this confession. That's not what they're for. It's simply good theology derived from the pages of Scripture in an easy to understand and easy to comprehend way. Because we're not smart enough to just pick up Genesis and read all the way to Revelations and then be able to spit out a systematic approach or a systematic view of Scripture. We need instruction. We need discipleship. We need help that people, numerous amounts of people, have put together throughout the years, throughout generations, that's put together for us and passed down this instruction, that's passed down these catechisms, these questions and answers. And it helps us to stay grounded. It helps us to unite. It helps us to know what we believe in and why we believe it. This is what Scripture teaches about God and about man. And we need help understanding that in the Heidelberg Catechism. Well, it does just that. Here's a brief history of the Heidelberg Catechism from Kevin DeYoung's book entitled The Good News We Almost Forgot. And I quote, in 1562, Elector Frederick III of Palatinate, a princely state of the Holy Roman Empire, so thank Germany, ordered the preparation of a new catechism for his territory. A new catechism would serve three purposes. Number one, it would serve as a tool for teaching children. Number two, as a guide for preachers. And number three, as a form for confessional unity among the Protestant factions in the Palatinate. Frederick wanted a unifying catechism that avoided theological labels and was plainly rooted in the text of Scripture. And so to that end, he commissioned a team of theological professors and ministers, along with Frederick himself, to draft a new catechism. Although the catechism was truly a team effort, including a man by the name of Caspar Olvianus, who used to be considered the co-author of the catechism, but now is seen as simply one valuable member of the committee. There is little doubt that the chief author was Zacharias Yersinus. Yersinus, a professor at the University of Heidelberg, was born on July 18, 1534, in what is today known as Poland, but at that time it was Austria. Yersinus was the chief architect of the Heidelberg Catechism, basing many of the questions and answers on his own shorter catechism, and to a lesser extent, his larger catechism. De Jong goes on, "The Heidelberg Catechism reflects Yersinus' theological convictions that were firmly Protestant with Calvinist leanings, with his warm Irenic spirit," end quote. So the Heidelberg Catechism has been a real gift to the church for the last 457 years. It has been used to know the truth, to celebrate truth, to defend the truth by bringing together like-minded believers to gather around these certain questions and these certain answers. The Heidelberg Catechism is largely a commentary on three things. It's, number one, a commentary on the Apostles' Creed. Number two, a commentary on the Ten Commandments. And number three, and it ends with a commentary on the Lord's Prayer. And so after the two introductory questions, which we'll look at next time, the Catechism deals with section number one entitled Man's Misery. And that's questions 3 to 11. Then it goes after man's deliverance with questions from 12 to 85. And finally, man's response. That would be questions 86 through 129. Many name these three categories after the pattern of the book of Romans, which goes after this pattern of guilt, grace, and gratitude. So guilt would be section number one, grace would be section number two, and gratitude, section number three. There are, like I said, 129 total questions that are divided up over a 52-day Lord's Day period. An interesting fact here that about this confession is, according to Joe Beakey and Sinclair Ferguson, they wrote in 1999 that besides the Bible, besides John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, besides Thomas A. Kempis' Imitation of Christ, coming in fourth place, the Heidelberg Catechism is the most widely circulated book in the world since its publication in 1563. That's just remarkable. The Confession is widely praised as the most devotional and the most loved of the catechisms of the Reformation. Out of all the confessions of the church, many believe this to be the one that brings the most comfort of the gospel out of all the others. And what would, at this current time, what would be more of a benefit to us is to read a confession, to read a catechism that is what they would say is the most comforting of all catechisms, the most, shows the gospel in the most comforting ways. For example, I mean, take question 27. It says, "What do you understand by the providence of God?" So what do you understand about the providence of God? Answer: the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and then so rules them that leaf and blade and rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food, drink, health, sickness, prosperity, and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. That's a paragraph with much gospel comfort for the soul. This catechism will, in a structured way, show us the essential elements of the Christian faith. It will show us, as the book of Romans does so plainly, that we are great sinners and that Christ is a greater Savior. Comfort. Comfort of the gospel. My goal in this would not be for you to fall in love with this catechism and it just stop there, but that rather that the gospel that this catechism proclaims from start to finish, which lines up with Scripture, would incite a love from you to Christ. Of course, we need to know our Bibles more than we need to know this catechism, no doubt. But through this catechism, we can have our faith strengthened. We can have our knowledge expanded. And it all be through the discipling of ourselves in this old catechism. And so next time, we will look at one of the best man-made written paragraphs of all time, and that is in question one of the Heidelberg Catechism. But until then, may God, in this time away from one another, turn your heart closer to Him. Turn your affections toward the one who gave you everything for life and godliness. Don't slide back in during this time. And as Dennis told us, as he told us last week, simply trust God. Love you, Grace Church.